Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 7. Would you look there with me? 7th chapter of the book of Acts and verse 54. We're giving a special emphasis over these few weeks here on the important topic of prayer. And I mentioned this past Wednesday night, for those of you that were not here, that I want to just kind of revive the idea that Wednesday night is truly a Wednesday night prayer meeting service. And it can be a lot of things. It just, many times, is just a traditional service where we go through just the routine of having church. But my desire is that Wednesday night will become, over these next few weeks, truly a prayer meeting, truly a time that we gather together, we pray together, and we have an organized effort seeking the Lord about a lot of different things, a lot of different needs, and we take the example of what takes place on Wednesday night, and we use that in our life, our daily life, to pray on a more consistent and regular basis. I think we all recognize that prayer is the force that causes us to be able to succeed in any work of the kingdom of God. You can't do anything unless you're willing to call upon the name of the Lord, to pray, to seek the face of the Lord. This morning, I want to take these few minutes and look at Acts chapter 7 and verse 54 on making an appeal to heaven. Making an appeal to heaven. Acts chapter 7 and verse 54. You know this account. This is where Stephen is preaching before the council. And before he's through, he has pretty well described them and what they had done, and they all recognized that they were the guilty parties. Acts 7 and 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Now, this is pretty intense. They're so overwhelmed with guilt and conviction that the Bible says that they were cut to the heart. It was like they were pierced in their heart by his words, and they literally, this is not a figurative thing here, they literally ran to where he was and gnashed on him with their teeth. Now this is intense. Stephen has really, really brought them into an understanding of their failures and their shortcomings, and they really didn't like what they were hearing. They were so upset by it that they're reacting the way that they are. It says, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now this end of Stephen's life, of course, he's the first martyr of the New Testament church. There's some really, really important and interesting things about what's going on in this account. He's the first of the Christian martyrs. Their response to him that day was because he told them the truth. He preached to them the truth. And the truth sometimes really, really hurts. It really stings. It really pierces your heart. Some of you may have had the experience where you've been in a church service and the word of God went forth and it was as if you recognized, oh, that's me. That's me. I'm guilty of that. I am not just accused, but I'm guilty. of the very things. I've had that experience on a number of occasions. The Bible says that they heard what he was saying, then they begin to gnash on him. And their response was, they were cut to the heart. They were convicted. But notice what's going on in Stephen's last moments in this world. The last moments of this world. He says, it says, first of all, there in verse 55, that he's full of the Holy Ghost. And it says that he looked steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And so as a result of what's going on here this day, the closing moments of his life, it makes mention of the fact that he is filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. And that he has an open view into heaven. He sees right into heaven at these closing moments of his life. He sees right into the activities of heaven. What is going on there? What does he see there? Well, it says that he sees the glory of God there. The word there is just the word we've heard many times, the word that the Hebrew word, the Shekinah, the glory, the kabod, the presence of God, the overwhelming weightiness of God. He saw into heaven and he saw the glories of heaven. Amen. What an insight that he received that day. And so he had heaven open for him and he was able to see into heaven. He sees the glory of God. But not only does he see the glory of God, he sees Jesus there, the Son of God. And Jesus is standing at the right hand of God, at the throne there. He's standing there. Why is he standing? Instead of sitting everywhere else in the scripture, whenever he's mentioned in the New Testament, he's seated at the right hand of the Father. But in this case, Jesus is standing. I think he's just eagerly watching. Jesus is eagerly watching the events of those moments take place. And so there's this unbelievable connection between heaven and earth going on between Stephen and the heavens. Something is happening and to such a degree that he has opened up the windows of heaven. He sees what's going on in heaven. And the Lord himself is not seated but standing at the right hand of the Father. And he's also connected with what's going on in Stephen's experience there. It says, the heavens open and the Son of Man is standing on the right hand of God. So this text kind of gives us a little insight into what it means to be a person of prayer that knows how to connect heaven and earth. We know that heaven and earth are separate places. They're as far apart as you can get. Not only in location, but also in what's going on in heaven. Because heaven is filled with the glory of God. Everything that is transpiring there is the will of God. And God's plan. Everything in heaven is all a part of God's plan and God's will being lived out. You can't imagine that any angelic force would disobey the voice of the Lord. No, they're readily at his bidding, at his calling, willing and desiring to do whatever that he calls them to do. Is that what is going on this earth? Absolutely not. Not right now. This earth, the Bible says, Satan is the god of this world, and he is maneuvering and moving and changing and affecting what's going on in the world today. He's the prince and the power of the air. He is working and moving in this earth. And the only place in this earth where Satan does not have the dominion and the power and the control is in the kingdom of God, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And among the believers, every saint of God. Because when you become a born-again Christian, then you enter into the kingdom of God and you are serving the Lord, no longer serving yourself. But I want you to notice the prayer that Stephen prayed in this text. That Stephen
prayed a prayer. And this prayer that he prayed was not for himself. You would think that someone being stoned to death would be praying for themselves, but he wasn't. He wasn't praying for himself. It says, they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. So Stephen is calling upon the Lord while they are stoning him to death. And he's saying, Lord, receive my spirit. And then he says, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. This was a prayer of intercession on behalf of those that were there. Don't hold them guilty for what they are doing. And one of the individuals that's there, that's kind of hiding in the shadows, is a man by the name of Saul. He's actually the instigator. He's actually the one that's behind all of this, rejection of the church and this rejection of the gospel. He's there. As a matter of fact, they all leave their coats at his feet. And it kind of gives the picture that he's the one that's in charge, and they're just taking the orders from him, and they lay their coats at the feet of this man by the name of Saul. But Stephen, with the heavens opened and clear view into what's going on in the heavens, he prays a prayer. This is an intercessory prayer, and says, don't lay this sin to their charge. And so a dying man prays a simple prayer. It's probably the weakest prayer that he ever prayed, because he's dying. But yet he's filled with the Spirit, and he has a clear view into the heavens, and he prays this weak little prayer, but little does he know that there is a man in the crowd that prayer that day was going to have great strength and mighty power. That prayer was going to change things, because that man was going to be a man who was going to change the world. And we still today feel the impact of the life and the ministry of Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, because of a man who prayed a weak little prayer. Do you know this morning that your weakest intercessory prayer, your weakest prayer, might very well be your most powerful prayer? Especially if you are anointed of the Spirit, especially if as you have tapped in to the presence of God and into the heavens, then you're able to pray a prayer. Now, an intercessory prayer is not a prayer for yourself. It's an appeal to heaven for somebody else, for someone else. And there's no way that you can ever pray that kind of a prayer unless you dearly love. You dearly love. And so if you see someone that's in need and you recognize that you can't change them and you can't cause them to love God or to turn to God, or you can't change their circumstance, it really all begins with your willingness to let God fill your heart up with love for that person. Amen. And the only way you can really, truly pray an effective prayer, a prayer of intercession, is to make an appeal to heaven because of the love of God that's in your heart. Here we are on this Memorial Day weekend, and for those of you that weren't here Wednesday night, you missed Sister Huff's testimony when she told about her mother praying, her mother and two other prayer warriors who prayed throughout World War II. And all of the various ones that were connected to them and their relatives and family and different ones that they knew, several of them, maybe six or seven of these soldier boys, actually sailors, and they prayed for them, and they fasted for them, and they held on to God for them. They loved them, and they touched God for them. They prayed for them, and each one of them survived and came home. And no doubt it was because of the faithful intercessory prayers of those ladies and those mothers who cared about them. I remember hearing Sister Ruby Barrett many times talking about praying. As a matter of fact, Kirk and Lisa, now you live kind of in a sanctuary, because I know that in that house that she prayed throughout that the rooms of that house as she was daily, as Merle was in Vietnam, and she prayed for him and called upon the Lord in that home that was really a sanctuary that she believed God. I remember her saying in testimonies on more than one occasion how that she was at a church service. If I'm not mistaken, y'all can straighten this out after church. If I'm not mistaken, she was in a revival meeting, visiting a revival meeting at Colony Church. And she told about how that while she was there and she was burdened about Merle's situation, being in Vietnam, not knowing what seems like maybe she hadn't heard from him for a while. Can't remember all the circumstances, but she was burdened and praying for him. And she said, there was a Holy Ghost message. You know what that means? There was either a prophetic word or a message in tongues, interpretation. And it let her know, I don't remember the exact words, but it let her know everything's going to be all right. And she received the comfort and the peace. And in a matter of days, she heard the word that even though injured, he was going to be all right. Praise God. Amen. There have been a lot of people who have prayed and interceded for someone that was in need, someone that was in desperately in circumstances and just overwhelmed with that need. But your love drove you to pray, to reach out to them and believe God. You see, in heaven, all that's going on in heaven is God's will and God's glory, the presence of God. And we need to be able to bring what's in heaven down to this earth. Let me read to you some verses here. It says in Matthew 6 and 10, this is a part of the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What a prayer to pray that kind of a prayer. Lord, that what's the same presence of God and will of God, your will would be brought down. That is tapping in to heaven and appealing to heaven and bringing God's will into this earth. Amen. Another verse is Matthew 16 and verse 19. I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That here on earth, through the power of intercessory prayer, that you can affect what's going on in this world through the power of your connection with heaven and the glory of God and the presence of God and the will of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. What does it mean to be an intercessor? What does it mean to be an intercessor? It means that you're just willing to appeal to God on behalf of someone else. It's not a selfish prayer. I'm telling you, folks, we live in a selfish world, and if we're not careful, we'll get consumed with that same selfish spirit. It's the truth. You may have seen some of these YouTube videos. I saw one just recently where they put a camera on a guide dog of a blind man. And the dog was supposed to be leading this man through town and to wherever he needed to go. And it showed by that camera how that people were even abusing the dog. That we just live in a world that's all wrapped up in themselves. Abusing the dog and mistreating the blind man like he wasn't even human. And it was all caught on video as they somehow attached the camera to the guide dog. And it revealed just pretty much the nature of man today and how they were out for ourselves and we don't care about anyone else or other people's needs. This is a selfish world that we live in. Let it not creep into our lives or into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be full of compassion and love. And then whenever we pray, pray that God's will, that, you know, and it's the will of God that everyone be saved. You don't have to worry about praying the will of God when it comes to praying for someone that isn't serving the Lord, because you know that he is not willing that any man would perish, but that all come to repentance. That's the will of God. That's the plan of God. In heaven, that's where God reigns. But on earth, it's chaos, and it's, you know, man is in control and the devil is in control. But I want you to know you can bring a little heaven down to this earth by your determination to get a hold of God, to seek the Lord, to pray, to intercede on behalf of the needs of people that are around you. Amen. You know, a lot of people talk about, well, I don't have much to offer to God or to the kingdom of God. I can't sing, I can't teach, I can't preach. You have the big list of all the things that you think you cannot do. But I want you to know, you can pray. You can pray, and you can pray effectively. And you can touch heaven. You can reach out to those in their need. And you can believe God to save them and to bring them into that place of repentance and salvation. And for some that are out there in this world in sin, I mean, they're living dangerously. They're living their lives without any real concern about their life, or certainly not concerned about their eternal destiny. But you know that through the power of prayer, you can make an appeal to God and to heaven. And Stephen, in his little weak prayer, brought Jesus to his feet and opened up the windows of heaven, where Stephen saw right into the glories of heaven. I want you to know that you can pray a prayer that can get God's attention. You can pray a prayer and believe God and believe that he's touching the hearts and speaking to the hearts. And you can bring his will into the life of that person and make them aware of their need for God and awaken them to their need to be saved. Amen. For too long, we worry and we are concerned. Yes, we should be, but we also need to see the fact that we have this wonderful privilege to enter into his presence and to call upon the name of the Lord. Well, what were some of the conditions? Well, I think it was the truth. Live by the truth, declare the truth. That's what Stephen was doing. He was filled with the Spirit. So there's another condition. You need to be filled with the Spirit of God, directed of God's Holy Spirit in your life. And then you need to be willing to call upon the name of the Lord and pray a prayer of love and not selfishness, but pray concerned about those that are lost and those that are in need. You see, whenever you are interceding, you're actually just standing beside the Lord, because it's really his prayer before it was ever your prayer. It was his prayer. You're just linking up with him. And whenever you begin to enter into this level of praying and seeking the Lord, you're just stepping in with the Lord. You're stepping in with the will of God, and you're praying like he is praying. Romans 8 and 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. That's where he is. Amen. And that's the primary ministry of Jesus right now, interceding in behalf of you and me, interceding in behalf of the lost of this community, the lost of this world, the multiplied millions of people that don't know the Lord. Jesus is interceding. So whenever you pray for the needs of the world, whenever you pray for those that are evangelizing or missionaries at different places around the world, you're just linking up with what the Lord is already doing. Hebrews 7 and 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. I don't know about you, but that's me. That was you. The uttermost. Those that were far off. Those that were so distanced from God. You know people like that, that are living in darkness, far away from God, far away from the knowledge of the Lord. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Praise God. That's what he's doing. So let's just align ourselves with him and make an appeal unto heaven. And when you do, heaven will open up and you'll see the glory of God. You'll see the presence of God, and you can bring a little heaven down to this world and to this earth as you intercede on behalf of those that are lost, those that are in need. Amen. So you may not be a singer. You may not feel like you're gifted in many other areas, but you do have. We're all on equal ground for certain whenever it comes to our ability to call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. To intercede and to pray. Don't tell me that God can't move. He will move, and He can move whenever we get in earnest before God, whenever we are determined to pray and to seek the Lord until He brings the answer. I believe that He will. I believe that He wants you and I to align with Him and our will with His will and pray and intercede in behalf of those that are lost. There is this connection between heaven and earth. Remember the story in Exodus 17, where the Amalekites came up against Israel. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose you out some men. Go out to fight against Amalek tomorrow. I'm going to stand on that hill up there with the rod of God in my hand." And the Bible says that Joshua did what Moses told him to do, fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And Moses there would hold up his hands. As long as he held up his hands, then Israel prevailed in the battle. But when he let down his hands, the Amalekites, they would prevail. The Bible says that his hands grew weary. He couldn't hold them up. And so Aaron and Hur came alongside and stayed up his hands. And the one on one side, the one on the other. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. That just means he defeated them. He destroyed them whenever his hands were held up in the air. There was this connection that Moses had with heaven. As long as his hands were extended toward heaven, then the battle belonged to the children of Israel. When he was too weak to hold them up, then the battle would turn the other way. Oh, how important it is for us to see that ever we, our weakest prayer, as weak as Stephen's prayer was, it might have just been a whisper, but it was a mighty prayer. It was a prayer that changed Saul. I believe that Saul witnessed that martyrdom that day, and the prayer that day of Stephen changed him. It says from that day forth that he was running like a madman into every little city and village. He was out of control, trying to destroy them. And he was a man, a desperate man, trying to resolve the conflict that was within his own spirit. I believe that Saul, from that day forward, was under the conviction of the Spirit of God. Finally, on the road to Damascus, the light shone out of heaven, and Saul was changed and turned into Paul the Apostle that day, who changed the church and transformed the lives of many, and even you and I here today because of his life and his ministry. Praise God. You never know what your weakest little prayer might accomplish if you pray a prayer of intercession. If you can reach into heaven and ask the Lord, "Lord, open up the windows of heaven and bring down to earth, Lord, your will be done. Your will be done, so that whatever is bound here will be bound in heaven, and bound that the work of God that is being accomplished, that the will of God that's being accomplished in heaven will be brought down into the circumstances of our lives right here in this world." Amen. Praise God. There's a lot of people that need a little heaven right here on earth in their life. They don't recognize it, what they need. I don't know about you, but I recently been praying for someone that I'm real concerned about, and I've been visualizing them in my mind, and I'm not being mystical here, but I've been visualizing them in my mind as I pray for them, completely restored and serving God. Amen. And it is such a happy, joyful picture to see that person walking with God, restored in their right mind, living for the Lord, and free from all of the things that are destroying their life. right now. Praise God. And I'm asking the Lord, Lord, open up the windows of heaven. Because I know it's your will that our friends, our family, our loved ones be saved. It's your will. But help me to touch heaven for them. I want your will to be brought down to this world, to be brought down into my circumstance and to the circumstances of people that are sitting right here in this congregation here today. I believe that God gives to us the opportunity to make an appeal to heaven. Amen. Glory to God. And to see God begin to work and to move mightily. Amen. I believe in the power of intercessory prayer. It just means to intercede. It just means to step in unselfishly and get involved in the life of someone else other than yourself. To intercede doesn't mean praying for yourself. It means prayer for someone or some several others. And you step in as an intercessor to intercede for them. And when you step into their life, you see, you can live your life, you can go on with what you're doing, or you can involve yourself in the lives of some that are really desperately in need. You can ask the Lord to help you. You can get a glimpse into heaven coming down into their life and the change, and the transformation taking place. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's hold our hands up before the Lord. Let's call upon the Lord. Let's believe God. Would you stand with me here this morning? Amen. Amen. I do believe that as we pray together, we can see God move. I wonder this morning as we pray right now, is there someone, are there people that you're concerned about? Amen. That seemingly are a million miles away from God. Would you pray with me right now and let's agree together for them? That God's will in heaven will be right here in this earth. That we would stand beside the Lord because he's interceding. And that we too would intercede for them and ask God, Lord, change their heart. Change their mind. Change their circumstance. And bring them, Lord, them into the kingdom of God. Transform their life. Change them for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Amen. Would you hold your hands up to the Lord and let's call upon the Lord. Father, thank you that you've given us, Lord, access to heaven. Thank you, Lord, that you can open up the windows of heaven, Lord, and provide for us what we're in need of today. I know your will is being done in heaven, but Lord, we want your will to be done on earth, in our lives, in our families, in our church. Lord, in the lost of this community, our loved ones that are lost, our neighbors that are lost. Lord, the people, Lord, that you have brought into our life, oh Lord, that are so far away from you. God, would you, Lord, bring heaven into their life and make them aware, Lord, of their need. And I ask, Lord, that in every circumstance, Lord, that you would show yourself mighty and strong in their life. And Lord, that they would be miserable and tired and weary with the way that they're following. And Lord, that they would begin to look up. They would begin to cry out to you. They would begin to ask you for help, ask you for mercy, ask you for forgiveness. Oh God, we trust you to do that. We believe you to do that, Lord, as we agree together today, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Change the lives of people. Save the lost, Lord, that are so far away from you, so desperately in need. Lord, give us a compassion and a love for them like we've never had before. Lord, anoint us with your Holy Spirit so that we can pray, Lord, in power and unction. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Praise the name of the Lord.